Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. This week, we're exploring cafes with coffee alternatives. And if you visit a lot of cafes in Columbus, you'll notice over the past couple of years, a new product has appeared on menus, matcha. The matcha trend has grown so much this year due to high demand that we're actually seeing matcha shortages. The product itself is ground green tea leaves sourced from Japan. Milky Way Matcha Bar is a cafe in Bridge Park in Dublin, and the cafe is a sister company of Fukuryu Ramen, a local ramen shop that has been around for over 10 years. Jason Lom is the creative director of the Fukuryu brands here in Columbus. He's also directs marketing and social media. Welcome to All Sides, Jason.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So first things first, Jason, do you drink coffee or matcha?
I drink both. I'd say my day-to-day is matcha. When I need a quick burst of energy, coffee is definitely the way to go. But I tend to get lattes. I don't really enjoy black coffee all that much.
Okay. So what made you decide to open up the Milky Way Matcha Bar?
Yeah, absolutely. So Fukuryu at the time was about 2 years ago. We were looking into different ways how we can expand our brand, our breadth of brands that we have now. And my boss, Jeff, he really wanted to kind of explore the ideas of snacks, takeaway snacks. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't really easy way to do that. We've tried doing takeaway sushi concepts. That didn't really stick too much just because it wasn't too much of what Fukuryu was all about at the time. But this idea of just matcha came to me when I was visiting Japan 2 years ago. I was able to tour a tea farm in Kagoshima. And yeah, it kind of just the cultural value of how closely matcha is held to high standard in Japan really kind of set the tone for how I wanted to explore that opportunity within Ohio and how we can kind of bring that back to Columbus. So my team, we started looking into different ways we can offer matcha apart from just drinks, but treats and snacks as well. But we found that just takeaway beverages was the easiest way to execute that. And so last July, we opened Milky Way in Bridge Park, and it's just taken off since.
Explain to us what matcha is. If you were telling someone who's never had it before, what is matcha?
Yeah, absolutely. So matcha is tencha leaves. Essentially, they are a specific type of green tea leaf. About a month before it's harvested, it is covered with a shaded tarp, almost a fabric tarp, and that's really kind of makes matcha leaves different from other tea leaves. It kind of boosts the antioxidants and all the amino acids and different phytochemicals that other tea leaves don't have, just because it's working harder because it's shaded, right? Those tea leaves are then hand-picked. Only the youngest, most tender leaves are picked. They are steamed and dried and then ground into matcha powder. And these tea leaves, they because they have so many more phytochemicals in it, so many more amino acids, they tend to be a little bit more forgiving when it comes to things like coffee. Has
forgiving, like easier on the tummy?
Easier on the tummy, definitely less acidic than what coffee is. Has a lot of health benefits too, which I believe it is really great, especially when it comes to like a morning drink. Has heart health benefits. And one of the most important aspects, which we always tell our customers, you don't get that crash like you would with coffee. You normally get like a spike and then a crash. Matcha has an amino acid called L-theanine in it. And that is really going to help give you more of like that alertness, that healthy alertness throughout the day. Doesn't have as much caffeine as coffee does, but I think that it definitely will kind of keep you going throughout the morning without guzzling down 3-4 cups of coffee, which most people tend to do.
Yeah, I read it's longer lasting energy without the jitters. So is that a part of the reason people love it so much? Maybe it's gentler but still caffeine?
You know, I would love to think that most people that drink matcha do it for the health benefits, I would say. Enjoy it for the health benefits. But I think that there's such a huge social media craze about it nowadays. You see it on social media. They have things like strawberry matchas and matchas with these different flavored cold foam creams on top, which we definitely do. And, you know, because of that craze, I think that people tend to try different beverages because they've seen it on social media and they've seen it online. And like you were saying, that's kind of like the biggest factor that's driving the shortage that we are experiencing right now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you. So there's been a matcha shortage. Has your business felt the effects?
Yes. So we tried to hold out as long as possible. We've been working with some really great suppliers to really try to get the best quality matcha that coincides with our values. You know, we're the Milky Way brand is a very much sustainable brand, focuses on both environmental and social sustainability. And a lot of the products that we have tend to come from sustainable farms and tend to be organic. And so we have worked with some really great suppliers, but we just got notice about a month ago saying that, you know, the price of our matcha is going to come up, and so much so that they can only offer us a specific type of matcha right now, because there's different cultivations of matcha depending on the region where it comes from and depending on where the season that it's being picked. And so
to be real matcha, does it have to come from Japan?
That's a really big point of discussion as well. Mm-hmm. For me, I would say true matcha, yes, for quality purposes. You know, there is some controversy behind it. You know, is Chinese matcha considered real matcha? I think, you know, Chinese produced matcha can be great. There's definitely different quality levels of it. But I think that there's just such a craze behind matcha and the Japanese aspect of it, how closely it's held when it comes to like matcha ceremonies, tea ceremonies, things like that. That for me, if I were to drink matcha, I would prefer Japanese over Chinese matcha.
This is Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about matcha from Milky Way Matcha Bar for our Coffee Alternatives edition of Fascinating Ohio. And we're talking with Creative Director for Fuku Ryu Brands, Jason Lom. So this, you mentioned the other flavors and that kind of thing. What's the most popular? Because I've heard a lot of people like the strawberry, but you sound like a purist. But what's the most popular flavors?
Yeah, so at Milky Way and in a lot of matcha shops that I've been to around Columbus, I think that one of the really big flavors is lavender, just because it complements matcha really well. It is a lighter floral. I feel like a lot of people, when they think lavender, they think soap. Mm-hmm. But just I think that some of the syrups and some of the ways that you could incorporate it into drinks, I think that it complements matcha very nicely. We at Milky Way, we focus a lot on Japanese flavors. So we have like cherry blossom is mm-hmm. a really popular one that we have. For a little while, we had kinako, which is roasted soybean. Flavored foam cap on top. But, you know, we try to stay true to kind of what's going on with trends and things like that. So we're constantly coming out with new flavors from season to season.
Why did you name the place Milky Way?
I wanted to create a brand that was could complement Fukuryu really well. So Fukuryu, they are a very casual, tongue-in-cheek kind of brand. Milky Way is more of like a whimsical type brand. When you think about, you know, space and the Milky Way and all these like really bright colors, I feel like incorporating those types of vibes into a drink kind of would set the tone for what I wanted to kind of engage our guests, the types of guests that we were trying to attract. And so really bright flavors, really new, interesting, undiscovered flavors. We're constantly like in the test kitchen trying to come up with different ways of how we can incorporate different Japanese flavors that you might not see in drinks into our matcha.
So there are people out there who don't like the taste of matcha. They think it tastes a little fishy, or sometimes it's described as grassy.
Grassy matcha, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think that matcha to new matcha drinkers can be quite polarizing. It's just because the tea leaves that are used, they have such like a high count of chlorophyll in it because of the way that it's produced before harvest, that it definitely has that vegetal type of grassy flavor. I actually kind of enjoy that. I think that it is definitely different, but and it's an acquired taste. But I think that after a few cups of it, that you can get used to the taste of it, especially when you have a lot of those health benefit trade-offs. And you know, if you are not a fan of that vegetable flavor, I feel like you can offset it with a lot of different flavored syrups. Mm-hmm. I try to tell people not to go too overboard when it comes to adding sweetener into matcha, because matcha naturally should have a sweetness to it. When you drink a matcha and it tends to be a little bit more on the bitter side, that tends to be a lower quality matcha. And they have all these different types of quality aspects when it comes into matcha, especially when you're here in the States. People talk a lot about culinary matcha versus ceremonial matcha. I think ceremonial right now is the one that's getting hit the most with shortages because just all these influencers online are pushing matcha, and people are like thinking, well, if I want to drink matcha, I want to get the best one. Hmm. So they're buying up all the ceremonial matcha, and it's really affecting the market right now.
Are you saying that because people can buy like a matcha powder and make it at home? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of matcha brands, they will create these different levels of matcha, with ceremonial being the most expensive. And, you know, you can go on Amazon or go on any online shop and buy matcha powder. When we get it from wholesalers, our wholesalers also have their own retail level. So they're probably going to be selling matcha at their retail level before selling it to the rest of their clients. And so although they try to be fair, they kind of have to like also work as a business and ensure that they're meeting their goals as well, which is totally understandable.
So Milky Way Matcha Bar, you said it's doing well. What's the matcha market like in Columbus? Do you plan to expand?
We do. So I've been talking to my boss and our team about opening a standalone store somewhere downtown, not too far from here. There's some nice real estate that we've been eyeing. But just walking around Columbus, traveling around Columbus, I've seen quite a few great matcha places. I think one of the great ones downtown that I like going to on like a Sunday morning is it's called Little Cat Boba, and it's on the corner of High and Broad, right by the Huntington Building. And they have a lot of different matcha beverages and Korean type beverages that their owner, Ray, he does a really good job about incorporating his Korean culture into his drinks. So I think that's really great. Coffee truck actually is now situated at Bud Dairy full time. Mm-hmm. It's called Tazita Coffee, and they actually source their matcha from us. So we work with them to bring matcha, the grade of matcha that they're looking for from Japan to Columbus, because they're a little bit smaller, so they can't really get on the same level as these really big wholesalers that we're buying from, since we have multiple stores and brands. So we're helping them kind of grow a coffee alternative menu, and they have really fun matcha drinks that I enjoy and I like working on with them.
Now, Jason, you yourself are from Japan. So what cultural significance does bringing matcha here to Columbus have to you?
Just to make clear, I was actually born and raised in New York. So my roots are Chinese.
No worries. Maybe we misread. Yeah.
And so I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Oh, I was just talking about the cultural significance of bringing matcha to Columbus.
Yeah, so
basically the matcha market here is, you know.
It's booming. And, mm-hmm. It's definitely growing. So I would say for me, it's more so being able to introduce just different aspects of not just Japanese, but Asian culture to Columbus is really big for me. It's something that I enjoy doing. And I've explored a lot of different Asian countries, Japan, South Korea. And I think that, you know, being able to introduce just different aspects of these cultures can kind of give insight to a more diverse perspective on how these cultures operate and why they do what they do and why they take a particular care in something like a tea ceremony that they do. And there's something that's pretty, I would say, beautiful and meditative about, you know, making matcha, especially if you're making it at home, that could be that can be kind of calming, you know, for the mind. And so that's something that I wanted to introduce to Columbus.
We've been talking with Jason Lom, the creative director of Fukuryu Brands and the Milky Way Matcha Bar. Thank you for your time today, Jason.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And good luck with expanding Milky Way.
Thank you.
And coming up for our Coffee Alternatives edition of Fascinating Ohio, we are heading to South Asia to talk all about chai. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. And this is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. This week, we're exploring Columbus's fascinating coffee alternatives. For South Asians, chai is a staple daily beverage rather than coffee. A local cafe, Cha Sha and Coffee, in Columbus provides authentic chai in a city dominated by coffee. Syed Raza Arif is the founder of Cha Sha and Coffee. Welcome to All Sides, Raza.
Thank you for having us.
So there's a lot of cafes that sell chai, like Starbucks, and they have their chai latte. How is a chai latte from Starbucks different than authentic chai?
Well, growing up in Pakistan, we never heard of the phrase before, chai latte. We always had just the chai. So when we moved here in Columbus and we figured out, okay, there's no such a market that caters the South Asian population other than the people who grew up in here. It might be similar or familiar with the term chai latte, but anyone who grew up back home, there was nothing called chai latte. We were all big fan of chai. And that's when the idea came up, was like to introduce chai to Ohio and especially to our South Asian population here in Columbus.
And before we came on air, we were talking about joking by saying that Starbucks calls it a chai tea latte, but that's not right.
No,
right?
That's not right at all. So chai is actually the literal meaning of tea.
So it's chai, like calling it a tea.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. That's what we do. So chai, by itself is the literal meaning of tea. We just wanted to bring it down here so we can introduce not just to our millennials and Gen Zs, but also to people who would not did not grow up here in Columbus, grew up in back home, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, India. So this was a good opportunity for them to come and have a tea that actually reminds them of back home.
Now, what makes a South Asian chai different from a chai from other cultures?
I have not actually tried any other tea besides their own tea. Most of our tea is exported from African countries, and also some of the South Asian countries also raise tea. But I have not tried any other tea besides our own tea, a big brand ambassador of ourselves, of course.
Have you had a chai latte from the Starbucks of
the
world?
I have tried it, but that did not resonate with us at all.
I'm sure it is not the right flavor for you,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely not.
All right. So what chai options do you offer at your cafe?
So we have more than four flavors of tea, but our most famous one is Kashmiri chai. We offer Kashmiri chai, Doodh Patti, Kadak chai, and Masala tea. So Kashmiri chai is one of the most unique items that we have presented to Ohio. It's a pink tea. It's actually made out of gunpowder tea. And then it has a floral taste and nutty taste to it. And then we top it off with dry rose petals, almond, and pistachios. And if you walk towards our traditional tea, which is Doodh Patti and Kadak chai, Doodh Patti essentially means milk and tea. So we cook the milk, and then we add tea to it, as compared to Kadak chai, which has a literal meaning of strong tea. And it is the base of the tea is water, and then we add tea, milk, and sugar to it. So it has a little bit, Doodh Patti will be a little bit more creamier as compared to Kadak chai will be a little bit more stronger. And of course, masala tea has the herbs and all the other items in it to make it a little bit more flavorful and joyful.
Now, where do you source everything from? Can you get everything you need here in the United States, or does the real stuff has to come from somewhere else?
So some of the stuff actually comes. So I traveled last year and brought a lot of stuff from back home from Pakistan. But there are still some stuff that is available here in local Indian and Pakistani supermarkets that we have here. But essentially, the main flavor ingredient we have to go back, or if somebody's coming from back home, they will bring it up for us to Ohio.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about chai for our Coffee Alternatives edition of Fascinating Ohio with the owner and founder of Cha Sha and Coffee, Raza Arif. So tell us about the name. What is Cha Sha, and how did you come up with it?
Okay, it's a very funny thing that you asked me. Cha Sha is actually it's a slang to go grab something to eat or go grab something to drink. So let's go for cha sha. Let's go get some, food shoed. So anything, the next word, you just add an S to it and becomes a slang. So cha sha is cha will be the short form of chai. And sha is just a slang that is added to it. So let's just go grab some chai shai. Or in Punjabi, they will just skip the I at the end. They will say cha sha. Let's go grab some cha sha. So that's how the name came up.
And you have the name and coffee. So do you sell American coffee there?
We do. We wanted to add that feature because we wanted to attract all kinds, a diverse population into our cafe. And when they come in, we can introduce our traditional teas and other items that we sell down there. So we wanted to keep all the items in there so that they have a diverse selection of tea as well as coffee to choose from.
How long have you been open?
So this is our second year.
Okay. And you are located on Bethel Road. Is
Correct.
That right?
Yes.
Okay. What made you pick that area of Columbus?
So Bethel would be still a good spot for us because that connects to us with the OSU population, so students, as well as the suburbs of Columbus, Ohio. So we are very close to Dublin, Hilliard, and other cities nearby. And then we are also connected to OSU. We get a large group of students come in every day, they work, study, and then they go back. And then during the evening time or the afternoon, we start seeing families coming in from the suburbs nearby.
Now, are you is your space more of a people come in the morning while they're on the run on the way to work, or is it a hangout spot?
It's mostly a hangout spot for us. Chai takes time. It's not something that we deliver. It's not fast food for us. Mm-hmm. Every item is cooked to perfection and cooked to order. So our place is something that where people would gather and drink tea. That's something traditional back home too, where people would sit down to have a special occasion, they will serve tea to each other and they will just spend time together for a longer period of time. We're not a fast food or we're not a fast cafe, if you want to call it. But we are more of a community-based cafe where we will start seeing the same people every day just coming together at nighttime after they're done working.
Most people do not get it to go. Your point is like, stay here, drink it here.
I would say 15% of our orders are takeout, and the rest of them are probably dine-in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, does chai, we're doing this show as like a caffeine alternative, so we're trying to get things more interesting than coffee. We spent the previous segment talking about matcha.
Yep.
Does chai give you a caffeine buzz, the same buzz that coffee does?
Not as high as coffee, which is why we focus more on the healthier side of it. It does not have a very high caffeine intake if you drink tea. It's not like if you drink tea, you won't be able to go back to sleep. It is just a relaxant for our community and for the people who are trying it for the first time. It does not give you that buzz or a hit, if you say the first thing. But people still use it as a energy booster. If you were to say, to kind of start your day with and end your day with tea as well. So that's just an energy drink for us, not having those ingredients in it, but something that is more traditional and that we have tried all our lives back home.
And does your shop also have food options?
We do. So we cater ourselves as a roadside cafe. That's what we would see back home in Pakistan and India, where a roadside cafe would not just serve the tea, but also would have snacks. Like we specialize in our golgappe, which is pani puri. Then we have charts, all sorts of different charts that we have. So chai is not the only option that chasha, but we also have Pakistani food or Indian food that will just go best with your chai as well.
Are you a chai purist, or do you also drink coffee and matcha and other things like that?
I do not drink tea, and I have I do not drink coffee, and I have not tried it before either.
Really?
Yes.
Not even your own coffee at your place?
No. We tried it when we were tasting it, and when we were trying different recipes. But I cannot differentiate between a good coffee and a bad coffee. A coffee would be a coffee for me. However, tea, absolutely, I can taste it. I can try every single different kinds of tea in a day, and I can spot the difference between the herbs or the tea leaves that been used in there. But no, coffee, I've not tried it before.
Now, did I read this correctly in our, you know, whenever people come on, we Google them. Do you own a meat shop?
Yes. So our primary business is actually meat processing.
So you own a shop called We Got Meat.
Yes. And
tell me about that.
So let me start. So I have a bachelor's degree in filmmaking.
You are a man of many talents.
So
sorry.
I did that for over 12 years. And I was like, man, I need to find an alternative to kind of keep myself going. So I started an online meat store similar to DoorDash and, you know, Uber Eats, where you would just pick any store that you want the meat from. So we were just specializing in meat. And then we ran it for a year, and then we were like, probably if we move on towards a new, I would say a physical place, that would be nice for us. So because we have all of these customers and we can always cater to them. So we came up with an opportunity to buy a place here in Sawmill Road, which is right opposite Home Depot. Mm-hmm. And we bought it. And then I would just go down there on my weekends to kind of pay my employees, take care of everything, and go back to my normal job, 9 to 5 every day. And then right after a month, COVID happened and we all got laid off. And I'm like, all right, this is the perfect opportunity for me to kind of transition into the meat store now. And then I took it over and I started running it, and it started to get better. And then later on, we expanded to our own meat processing facility down in Coshocton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. So we raise, process everything ourselves, and then bring it back to our store here in Sawmill.
Wow, man of many talents. I like the name, We Got Meat.
Thank you.
Is that what it's always been called?
Yes.
Okay, so when you were doing the DoorDash thing, that's what you called yourself?
Yeah, so it was a website, wegotmeat.com, where you can place the order through our website, and then we'll deliver it the same day or next day.
So is that still what you do now? So now you're raising it. Are you doing any like wholesale, or is it still you're delivering to people?
Yeah, so we do both. So we also have a retail store, and then we also see our wholesale side where we deliver all the way up to Kentucky. So tomorrow is our Kentucky Day. Today we deliver in Cleveland, and we have some stores down here in Columbus, Ohio as well.
Okay. All the meats or just certain ones?
Except for pork, since we are halal. Mm-hmm. Everything else, we sell it. You name it, we sell it.
Okay. So was it the idea of opening the cha-cha and coffee shop and then having the meat that... Did you always dream, I guess, it was what I'm trying to ask, of having this chai shop, and did the meat store or the meat business allow you to do that?
So meat store was running perfect. Mm-hmm. But I saw this, a new emerge of cafes and coffee shops here in Ohio. There were a lot of yummy stores that were opening up, and I started seeing a lot of South Asian population sitting down there. And at that point, I was like, maybe we need a place to cater our audience and to show off what we specialize in. Our main thing is not coffee. We are a big fan of tea. I mean, back home, a person would drink about 8 to 10 cups of tea every day. There are more tea shops than gas station. There are more people on the street than there are tea shops. So my idea was to have people try what we specialize in and what we do on our daily basis, was to tea. And that's when the idea came up. I was like, okay, I'm doing my meat store already. Maybe if I introduce something that will just not just expand our business, but also expand our portfolio. So at first we wanted to do just the coffee, but then I was like, our unique selling point is tea. Mm-hmm. And that's when we were like, okay, we have this population. We have over 100,000 Indian, Pakistani, and South Asian people live in Ohio, and not in Ohio, I'm sorry, in Columbus. And we wanted to introduce something that can cater to all those audiences. That's when the idea came up. Like, okay, coffee is not our thing. Coffee is a luxurious item back home. Not a lot of people drink it. Tea is something, yes, people was able to afford it back home, and they still want something, a traditional, genuine tea. That's when the idea came up, and we found a location here on Bethel, and then that's...
Do you sell any of your meat products in the shop, in the cafe?
So we sell sandwiches, but we use the meat that is used in our sandwiches from our store. Mm-hmm. So some of the deli slices that comes from We Got Meat, which is halal.
Yeah. Now, are you feeling like these two businesses, you know, We Got Meat and Cha Cha, do you feel at home in Columbus? How is the culture in Columbus, and how do you feel like you're fitting into it and that kind of thing?
I think it's very welcoming. Mm-hmm. The day we open our store, most of our customers are actually South Asian at our meat store, but at Cha Cha we see a diverse population. We actually see a good amount of mix of all cultures that comes to our place and enjoy tea. We have, since it's Battle Road, we have a lot of Asian population living down there. We see that a lot. And then our neighbors are mostly Asian stores and restaurants. So people would go and dine in the other places and then come back to have tea with us. Then we also have South Asian population. And then we also have Americans, of course, that comes in the morning time. So we are welcome, and we are appreciated by every sex of life or every group of people that we see.
Now, this film studies degree that you have, do you still use that? Do you make commercials or anything?
Absolutely. So that came in very handy when I started my own business. Before mm-hmm. that, we were doing commercials and videos for other companies and products. But I'm like, okay, this is perfect. So I run the social media for all three businesses that we have, and then the skills set and the editing and everything else that we learned from my degree and my experience in filmmaking came in very handy. And we were like, okay, perfect. We'll just start doing it for ourselves now. And all the equipment won't go just to waste or sell. I would rather just use it for my own self.
All right. Well, good luck with all the businesses. And thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely.
We've been talking with Syed Raza Arif, the founder of Cha Cha and Coffee. Thanks again for being here, Raza.
You're welcome.
And coming up, we are going to talk about juices, smoothies, and more. That's when Fascinating Ohio, the coffee alternative edition from All Sides, continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich, and this is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. And this week, we're exploring Columbus's fascinating coffee alternatives. For those who can't handle caffeine jitters at all, but still want an energizing way to start their day, wellness shots might be the way to go. From freshly squeezed juices, immunity shots, smoothies, and cleanses, Native Cold Pressed is a local juice shop that specializes in organic cold pressed juices. Owner of Native Cold Press is Erin Gall, and she joins us today. Welcome to All Sides, Erin.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So what is cold press, and what's the difference between regular juice and a cold pressed juice?
So cold pressed is the method in which we extract the juice. So the main difference between a cold pressed and a home juicer is really all in the process. The cold press machine that we use in our production facility uses about 2,000 pounds of hydraulic pressure to extract all of the nutrients from the skin, while eliminating as much heat and oxidation during that process as possible, which allows us to extend the shelf life of our juice by a few days versus, you know, when you're juicing at home, you're typically using a centrifugal blade that blends at a constant pace. It heats the juice and it also exposes it to oxygen. Still tons of benefits there, but you really want that for immediate consumption. Whereas with a cold press method, because we're able to eliminate more of the heat and oxidation, you can actually bottle it, refrigerate it, and keep it for several days while keeping all the nutrients, vitamins, and minerals intact.
Now, you started this business originally with a friend that you met at yoga class.
Yes.
Can you tell us how how a juice bar was born from yoga?
Yes. So Nicole and I, we met at a community yoga event, which we both had signed up for. We had a friend who was leading the course. And my past with juicing started for really primarily medicinal purposes. I was working with a homeopathic specialist who essentially guided me into the life of juicing. And Nicole's history with it, she had studied along with a raw food chef in LA. She had traveled through Thailand and started juicing on her own. And during this yoga event, we became fast friends and kind of our little yoga community was pretty small and tight-knit at the time. And we both shared a love and an interest of bringing something like this to Columbus. It was something that I was doing on my own. Really, I was heavily committed to it at that point for about 3 years. And she had been juicing and, like I said, working with a raw food chef for a few years prior. And when we started talking about the need for something like this in Columbus, we immediately clicked and moved really quickly with the idea of bringing something like this to our local community in the Short North.
So there are many places in Columbus that offer smoothies and juices. Some are like popular chains. What makes your shop, Native, different than other juice shops?
I think what we really were committed to early on was the integrity of the process and the quality of the produce that we use, all of the ingredients. So we make everything in-house, right down to the nut milks. The juice that we add or we blend to your smoothies, the nut milks that you drink are all made by hand. They are truly raw, unpasteurized, including the nuts that we use. So we try to eliminate as much processed fruits, vegetables, nuts as possible and keep everything fully raw and 100% organic. And we have we worked really hard for several years developing recipes, what works well together, the medicinal benefits on how they work together, and also designing them to taste really good in order for people to want to come back and commit to making, you know, better changes for the long term. And so we really poured a lot of time and attention over the course of several years and even a few years fine tuning that our main menu before we even opened to make sure it was something that, you know, each recipe that we designed had a benefit, its own individual benefits for anyone coming in, you know, whether it's you want to introduce something that benefits anti-inflammatory properties, something that's going to help with muscle recovery. We have a lot of athletes that come in. And so recipes that would aid in digestive benefits. And so really we worked hard in the very beginning on really fine tuning each ingredient and developing these recipes so that they would work with a wide variety of our community. And I really think taking the time to research where you're sourcing your products, your produce, your fresh vegetables and herbs, local, as much as possible, was really important to us early on. And developing slowly, really developing even our new recipes and our seasonal recipes. You know, people often get a little disappointed when we take certain things off the menu, and then we reintroduce them every year. We kind of fine tune or tweak them to make them special, and to really kind of highlight what's in season and be really mindful of every recipe we're putting out and the purpose behind that. It's not just, you know, we see a lot of trends online. There's a million juice bars out there doing really cool things. But we try to stick with what our individual goals were with the company and what our team likes. And really a lot of the feedback comes from our customers, and we build our menu based on that.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about wellness juices for our coffee alternatives edition of Fascinating Ohio. And with us, we have Aaron Gall, co-founder and owner of Native Cold Pressed in the Short North. You offer juice shots. What's a juice shot?
So think of a juice shot as a really concentrated form of juice. So it's really going to get you a really potent version of something you would get in a 12-ounce bottle. So we have pure ginger, for example. It's really spicy. It's about a 4-ounce bottle of ginger. You can either, my suggestion would be to take an ounce at a time, and then you can pop that bottle in the fridge and let that save. You know, you can keep that for another 2 to 3 days and take a little shot over time. Or we have mixes where the intent is to take a full 4-ounce bottle at once. And really, we've designed our shots to give you a really good boost of energy first thing in the morning, help aid in digestion when you have your breakfast or your lunch throughout the day. If you need a boost, a little pick-me-up, and if you're not looking for caffeine, I personally can't have caffeine. So those actually act as a mood boost or a mood enhancer, kind of gives you that wake up if you feel like you're getting brain fog. You know, you can't focus, you have a lot to do today, but you just feel like you don't have that motivation or push. We have developed shots that, you know, the intent is to help give you that push through the day or that boost of quick energy that you need. We have, you know, we use an algae, for example. It's called E3 Live Algae, and its intention, its benefits are known to help with brain fog and mental clarity and neurofunction. And so we add that with a little bit of wheatgrass for digestion and nutrients, a little bit of orange, and you can just shoot that back and start your day off right without having to take the time to drink maybe, say, a full bottle of juice.
Now, you just mentioned that you can't have caffeine, because I was going to ask you if you do ever have coffee, tea, matcha, anything like that.
I lived on caffeine. So I have been in the restaurant industry, without, you know, giving away my age, for well over 24 years now. And so I lived on caffeine and then sadly had to give up coffee when I was 24. I was diagnosed with a form of tachycardia, which is a heart condition. It, unfortunately, with caffeine, it stimulates adrenaline for me, and my heart condition is triggered by that. And so I slowly over time, caffeine would, I noticed palpitations or little flutters, and quickly I realized after working with, meeting with a cardiologist that I had to give up. Caffeine was the first and most critical thing that I was asked to let go of. And so living on coffee for many, many years, I thought there's no way I can do this. And so I did start. I started with, you know, easing my way off of caffeine and started with decaf. I still miss that smell and the flavor. So I will still from time to time drink a decaf coffee, you know, have a latte because I do still miss that. But I honestly don't miss the way I felt on caffeine because I found alternatives, and really juicing was such a huge part of that and giving me a little more boost without the ebb and flows of the caffeine. You know, when I was crashing or coming down from it, I would say, okay, I might eat a little bit here and there, and then I'd have another cup of coffee to push through the late night hours of the restaurant industry or going to school. And it really, I never realized how much I supplemented regular foods with coffee and to just get me through the day. And so when I was asked to, you know, eliminate that from my diet for health purposes, I thought, oh, there's, you know, this is going to be impossible. But luckily, you know, I was, you know, tested the waters with juice, and over time my body craved that so much more, and the benefits of that, my skin was better, my mood swings, my sleep was so much better. I was hydrated more often. You know, a lot of times I would deplete my water intake because I would supplement with coffee all the time. And so yeah, it was actually the best change that I made overall for myself.
Oh, coffee doesn't count as hydration? How dare you tell
me
that? I know. your shop, though, are you purely just juices? You offer a few other things.
So we actually offer cold pressed juice, a wide variety. We offer smoothies as well. Mm-hmm. We offer smoothie bowls, our acai bowls. We've created our own menu for our smoothies and acai bowls. We also have protein bites. We have chia puddings, and we have, you know, fall seasonals, soup, toasted sourdough, and then we're going to extend the food portion of our menu more than likely this fall.
And what's the most popular thing? What do most people come in and get?
Well, I think it depends on what they're looking for. So our top juices are Special Green Zinger, which is a really heavy ginger base, apple and lemon. It's sweet, it's tart, it's spicy. The swirled PB&J out of the smoothies is numero uno. People just love that one. That one is like a sweet treat, but it has a decent amount of protein, your essential fatty acids. We use a house-made strawberry chia jam. It's sweet, creamy, makes you feel like you're cheating with ice cream, but you're not. You're getting, it's like drinking a milkshake, but you get all the benefits of like a whole food, which is really good.
Tell us about your location and how long you've been there.
So we are located at 771 North High. We're in the heart of the Short North. We have been there for just over 11 years. We'll celebrate our 12th year in February.
12 years in the Short North is hard to do.
Yes.
do you have people who live there who are just like come in every day? And they're your people?
Yeah. We've been really, we have been really lucky with our Short North community. We have, you know, survived crazy construction with sidewalks being ripped out. We survived COVID really because of our Short North neighborhood, the residents that live in the area, all the small businesses, the employees that work in the small businesses supported us through, you know, a handful of really tough times. And some of our guests have supported us since literally day one. It's mind-blowing to look back and think, you know, we've been here almost 12 years, and so have they. And I hope that means we're doing something right.
Are you any plans to expand, or 12 years, one place? You're a one place kind of lady.
Since Nicole she's no longer a partner. She has four little ones. You know, she became really busy with mom life. And during COVID, I had my daughter. We actually had a location in Bexley, an additional location mm-hmm. in German Village, along with Short North, plus multiple farmers markets. And during that time, you know, when I had my daughter, I think priorities just changed a little bit, or a lot. And mm-hmm. so with that, what I found was it's nice at this point in time to have that time with my daughter. Nicole has the time with her family. And maybe in the future, when my daughter's a little bit older and I feel like I can dedicate that time that's needed to multiple locations again, I would be, you know, possibly in that, you know, in that mindset again. But I think at this time we're good with just Worthington Farmers Market and Short North.
We've been talking with Erin Gall, co-founder and owner of Native Cold Pressed in the Short North. Erin, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
And this has been Fascinating Ohio, the coffee alternative edition from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And I want to thank our student producer, Iza Huck, who produced the show today. Also, thanks to our other student producers, Colin Simpson and Kiara Burson. And of course, thanks to our senior producer, Marcus Charleston, and producer, Aaron Esmont Robinowitz. This has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.